The scripture reading is the letter of St. Paul to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 22 to 27. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we await for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart and knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
The Gospel reading is taken from the Gospel according to John, chapter 15, verse 26 through 27, and chapter 16, verse 4b through 15. When the Holy Spirit comes. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. The work of the Holy Spirit. I did not say these things to you from the beginning, because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the gospel of Christ. Glory to you, O Christ. Amen.
Shalom. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Open our hearts and minds and lives to your call through this holy word. Amen. Today is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost was not originally a Christian celebration. Ancient Jews celebrated the day as a spring harvest festival, the 50th day after Passover. The word Pentecost itself in Greek means 50th. This painting is one of many depictions of the very first Pentecost event. I am sure all of you know what happened on the day of Pentecost, according to the book of Acts, chapter 2. I bet you heard that story at least on every Pentecost Sunday, right? So, all the devout Jews from every nation who were living in Jerusalem gathered together in one place. And an amazing thing happened. They all received God's gift of the Holy Spirit while they were praying. Peter, Apostle Peter, being filled with the Holy Spirit, boldly preached, and the people's hearts were filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verse 41 says, "So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added." Wow! This was the awesome beginning of the church on the day of Pentecost. So, in this sense, just as Tina mentioned in her Children's Time video message, we can joyfully celebrate the birthday of the Christian church on Pentecost Sunday. You are the church, so I can say, Happy Birthday, Church. This morning, I'd like to share with you some important insights and lessons from the book of Romans and the Gospel of John on God's gift of the Holy Spirit. Last Sunday, we celebrated Ascension of Jesus. Even though it was a heartbreaking and sorrowful goodbye moment to Jesus for all the disciples and followers, Jesus promised us that we would not be alone. From this morning's gospel, John 16, 6 and 7, "But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." It has turned out that Jesus' earthly departure was a good thing for all those who followed him. It was our advantage that Jesus went away, because as Jesus had promised, God would send us a special and better gift, the Holy Spirit. Unlike Jesus' limited physical presence on this earth, the Holy Spirit can be everywhere, anywhere, in every person's heart, without limitations or restrictions. How awesome that would be. The New Revised Standard Version Bible translates the Holy Spirit as the Advocate. Even in this gospel text, the word is used two times. John 15, 26 says, "When the Advocate comes." According to the Amplified Bible, the word advocate is translated along with the more possible English equivalent. It's the same John 15, 26 verse. "When the helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby comes." Here, the original Greek for helper or advocate is parakletos, which means one called alongside to help, or one who consoles. Yes, the Holy Spirit is indeed the comforter and strengthener. Isn't this an amazing gift from God for you? The Romans text describes our human conditions. Chapter 8, 20-23. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruit of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. Well, even though we are children of God and the disciples of Christ, we are not always happy because of many transitions, changes, events, happenings, or fears in life, whether you like it or not, whether you're aware of it or not. I know you have faith in God, but faith alone would not be enough if you have to deal with your uncertain future. Here, Apostle Paul in Romans proclaims hope and then connect your hope in God to the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, 24-25. For in hope we were saved. Now, hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. In this verse, especially verse 25, hope sounds like almost faith, isn't it, right? Yeah. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Both faith and hope are the things that are not seen and somewhat appear to be the same convictions in this sense. Simply and generally speaking, faith says it is so now, the present, and hope says in the future, it could happen. Many people seem to be anxious more about the future than the present, mainly due to the uncertain nature of the hope, the future. However, the biblical concept of hope is beyond our common understanding of the word hope in English. I came across an article entitled Hope in the Time of Fear. It is an interview with Tim Keller, an American writer, theologian, and pastor from Outreach Magazine, one of the most current issues, March, April, 2021. He said in the interview, quote, in English, hope can mean the opposite of the Bible, biblical sense, to be uncertain. If you say, I know it's going to happen, that is certainty. If you say, I hope it will happen, that is uncertainty. The Greek word elpis means assurance of the future, assured anticipation. You are sure of your hope, quite the opposite of how we typically use the word in English, unquote. So true. Just as the Hebrew word shalom, shalom, can be translated into more than a mere English word peace, there could be many other biblical words and concepts that we must understand and learn through the whole spectrum of interpretations. Shalom not only means peace or absence of conflict or war, but also means harmony, wholeness, completeness, prosperity, welfare, well-being, health, healing, tranquility, and many, many more. So this word elpis, which is the Greek word for hope, is not just hope. It is more than assurance or conviction of the future unafraid. Yes, this true sense of hope comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. The writer Leo Bormans is well known as the global ambassador of happiness and quality of life. In his book, The World Book of Hope, The Source of Happiness, Success, and Strength, he wrote, quote, "Hope is not just about the future. More than anything, it is about building our resilience in the present," unquote. Yes, in this sense, hope can be a bridge, an essential bridge between faith and love, covering all our Christian life journey, the present and the future. Apostle Paul continues in the next verse, verse 26, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words." Yes, the Holy Spirit helps you in your weakness. The Holy Spirit guides you when you do not know how to pray as you ought. The Holy Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. The Holy Spirit empowers you to hold on to your eternal hope in Christ. Apostle Paul blesses everyone to abound in this hope. Romans 15, 13. "May God, the hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." My brothers and sisters in Christ, God created you. God loves you always, no matter what. And God examines your heart and gives you opportunities for your spiritual maturity through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit always stands by you, helps you, and comforts you in any circumstances. Of course, sometimes you must seek professional help, like doctors, lawyers, counselors, therapists, and other advocates for your special needs. But as long as you are being led by the Holy Spirit, you can be strong. Being strong in weakness is one of the most paradoxical yet profound Paul's signature proclamations. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me.'" Wow. How can you be strong when you are weak? The power of Christ is the power of the Holy Spirit. It is the power of the resurrected Christ. It is the power of God who raised Jesus. It is the power of the Holy Spirit who is always with you as a Parakletos, the one who is alongside to help. So, even though you go through some trials and troubles, be strong, because the Holy Spirit, because of the Holy Spirit's guidance and strength, we can affirm that the Holy Spirit is the bringer of hope in Christ. The next verse shows you how to be strong in your life. Verse 10, "Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong." I'd like to close my sermon with Apostle Paul's last verse from the Romans passage, verse 27. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saint according to the will of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.